It's entertaining. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you smile. Sometimes controversial, but it'll always have you coming back for more. No, it's not Trump Wales IPA. It's everyone's favourite talking shop, home of the Fox's most poorly informed pundits. Welcome to the Foss Arms, and welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners. Tonight in the Foss Arms, we have Norm. Good evening.
Good evening.
And Killer, good evening.
Good evening, Tim.
And along with myself, Tim, as your host. And a disappointing night for City against Everton. Honestly, Killer, I hated every single minute of that. I know it was a thriller, the neutrals loved it, but for us Leicester City fans, they've put us through the ringer again, haven't they?
Yeah, it was really annoying, wasn't it? Annoying the way we started the football match. We were just roundly getting outplayed until the goal, and that was kind of reminiscent really of Wolves in a lot of ways. It's an odd one, isn't it? Because had James Maddison got the penalty, of course, we'd have gone in at half-time 3-1. Now, that of course, would have been, in footballing terms, probably one of the biggest footballing injustices ever. But who cares? But it would have been 3-1 and been fascinating to see how the second half played out. I do think if you're a neutral, and if you are a neutral listening to the programme, I'd be interested in your views. I think if you were neutral, you would probably say Leicester City got a little bit lucky, because there's no doubt, I thought second half, they were a threat all the way along. And let's be honest, in terms of the action, I mean, I'm still getting over the Iverson save from Alex Iwobi. Absolutely blinding, not breathtaking, really, that save. So good. His performance was class. I can't remember a better Leicester City goalkeeping performance for a long, long time. Absolutely brilliant. With a lesser goalkeeper, I don't know, let's name, say, Danny Ward. it could have been a far different scoreline. So we saw save of the season. We saw miss of the season from Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I'm still working out how he managed not to open his body up. He's a pro footballer and just simply prod that. We saw the worst penalty of the season from James Maddison, made worse by the fact that Jordan Pickford on the side of his bottle that he went and had a drink out of, it got all of the Leicester players' names at the side of it and where they put their penalties, and it got Maddison straight down the middle, which was unbelievable. Tim, it was just one of those nights, wasn't it, where almost at the end, I just felt glad to have got something, and it was almost like, do you know what, we're 2 points out of the relegation zone. I know that's only on goal difference, etc., etc., but nevertheless, that's where we are. I don't really think we deserved any more than a point, if we deserved a point. I'm going to quickly talk about the team selection because I thought it was odd, and I'm still scratching my head as to why Smith et al. Thought Luke Thomas was a better option than Christensen. I didn't see that at all. When I saw the team, immediately I thought to myself, Alex Iwobi will score, and guess what? And actually could have helped himself to 2 or 3 on the evening. Wilfred Ndidi baffles me. I just don't think I remember a footballer decline so quickly. Why he's still getting a place in the team, I don't know. I don't know why Patson Daka's getting so much game time. He came on. I was astonished at the period that he came on in terms of how much of the game was left. I thought he was an obvious replacement for Jamie Vardy. Maybe after 80 minutes, brings him on, puts him out wide. Frankly, rubbish. Absolute rubbish. So I thought there was a few management decisions that were very, very odd. And, as I text you at the end, Tim, we now officially know this relegation running will go to the wire.
Go to the wire if we're lucky, Norm. Dean Smith described it as the worst performance since he's come to the club. How did you see it?
Much like Mr. Smith says, but with patches where there were patches of the game where I thought we looked reasonably good, and then there were patches of the game where he's absolutely spot on. We were just dire. I mean, I think sometimes I can be obviously a little over positive with when we're looking like we're doing things well. But if I'm looking at the things that I liked, I thought, and this is fair play to you, because a couple of weeks ago I'd have been happy for. I thought Vardy was finished. I think he was looking much better, and him and Maddison appear to be linking quite nicely, which could be an absolute godsend. So it was nice to see him back. A bit disappointed he didn't score his second. The Vardy of old would probably have buried that. Samaris played reasonably well again. I could consider that a positive. I have to say, the thing I like most about the game was Iversen's interview when he said the whole Everton team thought that shot was in, and he goes, "So did I." And as he pulled out, like Killers alluded to, I was right behind it, a truly spectacular save. You know, I've seen so many shots like that from the edge of the area, and you can see where the keeper is, and you can see the ball. You just know it's hitting the back of the net, and how he got a strong enough hand to push it around the post was, you know, absolutely outstanding. But it was at the end of the game, just very disappointing, because we could have nicked it. We didn't. They would have been furious had we won the game. But the biggest single annoyance for me is, and Maddison is easily our best player, why, with Vardy and Tielemans on the pitch, and it looked like Tielemans was taking that penalty. So even then, it's like, why isn't Vardy taking it? And it looked like that Maddison and Tielemans had a discussion and decided it was right for Maddison to do it. And I don't like that, because you should know at the beginning of the game who the penalty taker is. There shouldn't be any conversations. It should be, I'm taking it. Job done. And I think Vardy and Tielemans score that, and that would just about have sealed Everton's demise and put us in an outstanding position. So very, very disappointed when I saw that he was stepping up to take it, because I thought a player like that, he's not going to blast it. It's going to be all pristine and placing it. And Maddison, stick to your free kicks, mate.
Yeah, it's interesting, Norm, because I heard Dean Smith talk about that. He was asked why Maddison took the penalty. So like you, I'd assume that Maddison had sort of pulled some form of seniority over Tielemans when he took it off him. Apparently that wasn't the case. Tielemans was there just as a sort of placeholder, maybe to try and fool Pickford, I don't know. But Dean Smith said, no, Maddison nominated penalty taker when Kelechi's not taking them. And Killer, I mean, I believe I'm right in saying Maddison last took a penalty for us in a competitive fixture in 2018. Mm. So he's, you know, I get the fact that a new manager comes in and sort of looks at things, and maybe they've done some penalty practice, and he says Madison's a perfectly competent penalty taker. But first of all, I'm not blaming Maddison for missing the penalty. I think once he's taking the penalty, people can miss penalties. That's just life. And well done, Pickford. And by the way, Pickford, you might want to learn a bit of self-depreciation from Iversen rather than mouthing off about Maddison like he did afterwards. But I don't have a problem with him missing it, Killer. But what I do have a problem with, a decision-making process that, as Norm says, gets Maddison ahead of the pecking order in terms of Vardy and Tielemans, because although Smith can come in and have a look in training, there ought to have been a discussion to say he hasn't taken a penalty for 5 years and Vardy's actually quite good at them.
Yeah, okay, here's a theory. Dean Smith lying through his teeth. Maddison took the ball off Tielemans, turned around and said, "I fancy this penalty." Tielemans has let him at it. He's missed. Smith, rather than turning round and effectively causing a little bit of changing room bust up by saying, "I didn't understand the decision for Maddison to take the ball off Tielemans," has backtracked and backfilled the story.
Yeah,
I'm not buying that at all. But we could all see Youri Tielemans had the ball in his hand and he was going to put it down. Now, there's no point playing a charade on the basis of Jordan Pickford thinking it was Tielemans, because Jordan Pickford's clearly, he's not a particularly good goalkeeper, but he has got half a brain. And it's not going to take him that long to realise, Tielemans has now walked away and given the ball to Maddison. So Madison's now taking it. That's not rocket science. Sounds to me like a little bit of new manager syndrome. Smith's come in, doesn't want to lose the changing room. and he's got a cover story for the penalty miss. I'm with you, Tim. I mean, the thing is, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm actually with Norm on this one, in so much as the designated penalty taker takes the penalty. And I don't think that's happened here. I have no doubt at all that has not happened here whatsoever. Thereafter, it's in the lap of the gods. And the thing is, we know there's you know, even though James Maddison is an outstanding player, there are better players than James Maddison. And I think about Mo Salah didn't even hit the target the other day. You know, I've seen some awful penalties from Ronaldo and Messi and Harry Kane. So the best in the world miss penalties. It does happen. It's one of those things. I'm not buying for 1 second that Tielemans wasn't the designated penalty taker. Madison's taking it off him.
Yeah, certainly makes sense.
I think the thing that worries me a little bit is, and I really hope this isn't the case, is that if Madison's thought he wants a penalty, fine. I'm just desperately hoping it's not because he had a T-shirt under his kit, wanting to say that to display it, having scored a goal, saying I've got twins, a boy and a girl, did a reveal party on Instagram this week. And it's that kind of thing that worries me, because you so often see characters wanting to do that. And look, again, you're right. Look, anyone can score, anyone can miss a penalty. If a penalty is scored, it's a good penalty. If Pickford had dived out the way, then it's like, oh, Madison's almost Panenka'd him, brilliant. Great penalty, and it's because he's missed. It was poor, but anyway, we should move on from that sad state of affairs. So I'd hate to think Madders cost us a relegation.
Yeah, we don't want to be going down that route, given how he's been. But I think he could have contributed a bit more overall. But hey, look, he did. He put Vardy through, so I suppose you'll say he did his bit. Struck me, killer. It's the first game that three new signings did not start. So no Tete. I think we'll all applaud that. Suter, obviously Smith just doesn't fancy Suter, or John Terry doesn't fancy Suter, or whatever. Christensen. Now, I'm quite interested. I think I've sort of not quite been able to make my mind up about Christensen. I think we've all been fairly positive on him on the show. And then in the Leeds match, killer, my mate texted me saying, blimey, your left back's absolutely shocking. If you need me to come on at half time, let me know. And you know, and it's someone who I know and knows quite a lot about football. He's a Liverpool fan, actually. And I thought, wow, that's a bit of a bolt from the blue. Now, he wasn't having a great game against Leeds, but if he thinks Luke Thomas is the answer, then surely he's asking the wrong question.
I think so as well. And do you just drop a player for one bad game? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, since he's arrived at the football club, he's done really, really well. I think you, again, as a manager, just be careful about pulling a guy on one bad game. All I would say is, if there were two players of equal calibre, there's not very much between them, then I get the one game, let's just give you a rest. There's such big difference. Luke Thomas is clearly a nice young lad. He's a local lad. He's done well. He's come through the academy. But to me, he constantly looks out of his depth. He just doesn't look settled or right in the Premier League. I have no doubt he's going to be a very, very good championship level player. But I just don't think he's Premier League. I think there's everything about him, even on Alex Iwobi's goal. The kind of the way that he gives him 2 yards, and then when he realises he's pulling the trigger, turns his back somehow rather than just get his body in front of the ball. Everything about him, just like, that's just not quite good enough. So I find that a little bit odd. For me, look, I mean, obviously it's a game of opinions. I said a couple of weeks ago, I would personally have gone to a back three, and Suter would be in that back three, and Wilfred Ndidi wouldn't have played, because I don't think he's offering anything at all as holding midfielder. And I would rather, and let's be honest, we just looked all game fragile, didn't we? We just looked like we could concede against, and again, let's be honest, with Everton, and you look at their starting 11, it is desperate. Really, really poor standard Premier League 11, in my opinion. Made worse when Seamus Coleman went off, because I thought he was actually having a decent game. But you look across the pitch, not many players there, I think, that are really up to the standard. And at times, they were making us look really stupid. And that's just a big worry for me, Tim.
Yeah, I think they really outworked us. I mean, they did a good job. You know, Dyche isn't an idiot. He put Idrissa Gueye on Maddison, kept Maddison quiet for the first half. I noticed once he got booked, he stepped off him a bit more. And I think that gave Maddison a little bit more room. And that's where I would have wanted to see a bit more out of Maddison. But Norm, Killer mentioned Christensen in the defence. What about the midfield? Because, you know, again, and this is where at the moment I feel neutral on Dean Smith. You know, we're unbeaten in three, but we've played two absolutely shocking teams in Leeds and Everton and failed to beat them. And he keeps picking the wrong players in midfield. I mean, Samari, I thought, was okay. I mean, I think he's been a bit better under Dean Smith. I still don't think he's the answer at all. And as Killer said, Ndidi, you know, has continued to do nothing. Smith's had a good look at him now. He's not done anything right. And it was interesting for me when Tielemans came on, that he played a sort of quarterback role, sitting deeper, didn't he? Sent some of his long passes out. But he's just getting found out again in terms of his complete lack of fitness. And the thing that worries me about Smith is that there's an answer standing there staring him right in the face for any of those three midfielders, and it's Papimendi, and he just won't play him.
No, I was going to say that's the bizarre thing for me. I think indeed he hasn't shown enough to warrant a starting place. He probably likes his size versus Mendy. Particularly, I suppose, if he's not playing Suter. But Mendy just seems to be one of those players that none of our managers have particularly warmed to. And yet, when he comes onto the pitch, he's always tries his hardest and always, you know, in general, does pretty well. So I would absolutely, for the run-in, be looking at Mendy in place of Ndidi, and probably even like a complete change around in the midfield with regards to formation, because we do seem to be struggling against whoever we're playing against at the moment. You know, we're not getting a huge amount of the ball, and Dean Smith's come out and says he doesn't want us to play on the counter-attack. So if that isn't the case, then if we need to hold the ball a bit more, then we're probably just playing the twos, not really, you know, it's not working quite as well as it ought to. So there needs something needs to happen, and obviously we're running out of time, so we're looking at the next match really, perhaps with Ndidi not starting. But the Suter thing, I think it's probably just Sunchi's proven that, you know, we've spoken about this, don't want to go on about it, but he's clearly more than capable of playing very, very well, and he should have been playing for the season, shouldn't he? It's pretty obvious that that, you know, that's why Suter's not playing. You know, Fass and Sunchi are doing reasonably well. I think it's the midfield that's causing the defence the issues.
And it's a massive disappointment that Sunchi's signed the pre-contract agreement with Atletico. Killer, it's been on the cards for ages, but that was inevitable. The other one, have I missed KDH getting injured? Because he's disappeared off the radar.
Yeah, don't know what's happened. It would seem that there was some sort of knot. I can't imagine otherwise. Just interesting, by the way. So I received a text from somebody earlier. Thanks, Rob. Thank you for listening to the show. And apparently, Daniel Amati is linked with AC Milan. And I'm saying that in all seriousness. I mean, I thought I received two joke text messages today, that being the first one, the second being that Sam Allardyce was taking over at Leeds for their last four games to shore up the defence. On Saturday, they're away to Man City.
Well, we'll come back on that, Killer, because I've got some thoughts on that, and we're going to talk okay, about the relegation rivals very, very shortly. But you mentioned, thanks, Rob, again, for getting in touch there. Also, we've had an extraordinary email in from Matthew. And Matthew's written a very nice bit of prose that we mentioned last week. And I'm just going to pick the last bit of it just to read out, guys, because I think it sort of summarises where we're at, albeit it's much more highbrow than this sort of show is normally used to. And I'll put a link to it in the at the top of the show. This is what Matthew says, Killer. I'll get your response to this. We're hoping a manager who didn't cut the mustard at Norwich isn't the bedraggled canary in the coal mine, that he can conjure up some sort of Shakespearean final act of fortunes and turn an underachieving bunch of troubadours into a company still fit to perform on the main stage. Because that's what supporters do. We hope. We stop ourselves thinking about the what-ifs and the false promises of Slimani and Silva, Musa and Ghazal. We remember to be grateful for the past decade when the triumphs and celebrations far outweigh the frustrations and disappointments. And we continue to hope. We'll wave goodbye to James Maddison and wish him all the best. And as Youri Tielemans beams and waves to the crowd on his final home appearance, we'll be transported back to his moment of Wembley brilliance and where we were when it went in. And we'll remember the sheer gravitas of all we've experienced, whether with a shrug of reflection on the vanitas truth that what goes up must come down, or regret at what might have been, or a little of both. But through it all, we will hope.
Yeah, and it's a brilliant piece. And thanks very much for sending that in, Matthew. And I think that pretty much captures the spirit of it at the minute. Let's be clear about Dean Smith, because obviously we're football pundits, so we're entitled to question his decision-making or whatever. He came here, the club was in wretched form, 1 point out of 33, respectable. He got a respectable performance against Manchester City, a win against Wolves, a draw against Leeds and a draw against Everton. So, you know, the reality of it is he has, to some extent, turned it round. We are picking up some points. We're not adrift. We're very much in the conversation, which I'm not sure we would have been had Brendan been at the football club. The one thing I don't know about you fellas, the one thing, and I'm starting to feel this when I wake up in the morning, if we were to go down, it's like you've been on the best 2 weeks holiday ever and somebody just tapped you on the shoulder and went, today's the day you've got to go home. It would feel like that. It would feel like the end of an enormous chapter. Now, of course, it needn't be. And I've always said, going down isn't the disaster. The disaster is if you don't come straight back up. As you know, you tell a Burnley fan that. Burnley fans, there's more Burnley fans going to watch away matches this season than there were last.
Is that right?
Yeah. And that's not because there's more tickets available in the Championship. There are simply more of them going, because they're not thinking to themselves, 11 behind the ball, and if we can nick a point, all well and good. They're going there with general optimism. So sometimes to go down, to regroup, and then to come back up in a euphoric way that they've done won't be a bad thing. So we just need to put that out there. I'm not suggesting for 1 second we do want to go down. All I'm saying is, should it happen, it wouldn't be the end of the world. And I'm sure this club has the infrastructure and the resources to be able to bounce back. And maybe to some extent, Tim, and I said this before, blessing in disguise, clear a bit of the dead wood out, bring a few of the younger players in. Because the problem is with younger players, you've got to be really good to play in the Premier League. That's the problem. We found this with KDH. We found this to some extent. I think we're still finding it with Harvey Barnes. We're definitely finding it with Luke Thomas. The Premier League is an unforgiving league. It's very, very difficult to bring players through. Again, if you think about Liverpool and you think about some of the young lads, they're trying to... I know lots of Liverpool fans turn around and go, Harvey Elliott's not good enough, Curtis isn't good enough, blah, 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 blah. But the fact remains that actually maybe in the Championship, should we go down, if we go down, hope we don't, okay, but maybe there's an opportunity to bring some of these young guys through, get them in a position whereby we can start blooding them in the Premier League the year after.
Do I really want to watch Luke Thomas for 40 games next year? I ask myself. But I know where you're coming from. Incredibly, chaps, the bookies don't think we're going down at all. You can still get almost 2-1 on Leicester City to go down this evening, which I find quite extraordinary. We are fifth favourites. Maybe they've not had a look at the fixture list. But then I thought, maybe they have, because everyone's got a tough fixture list. So what I thought we'd do is let's have a little look at the relegation running and try and work out what's going to happen. So let's see if we can agree initially how many points we think we're going to get. I'm intrigued to see what you think. So, Norm, without putting your prediction hat on, we've got Fulham away, Liverpool.
12.
12 more points. So Leicester City finish on 42, just ahead of Chelsea. No problems there. So on a serious note, we've got 30 at the moment, Norm. What do you, what, where do you, have you sort of mapped through that, where we might get to?
I'm always mapping, and unfortunately from the majority of the season I've been incorrect, so take what I'm about to say with a huge pinch of salt. I think we are capable of scoring goals, which is ultimately why I'm fairly confident we'll get out of this. So Fulham are on the beach, or will be on the beach. They have got nothing to play for. That's obviously a huge game for us. I don't think we'll lose the game. I think we'll probably win it. I'm giving us a very, very important 3 points there. Liverpool are up and down. Fancy us for a point there. We'll lose at Newcastle, no doubt about that. And then the last game of the season, I actually probably think with that 4 points, we'll almost be safe. But I've got no doubt on the last game of the season that we will do enough to stay at whatever. So whilst I'm not giving us 12 points, I am being slightly optimistic and thinking that I think we'll get a minimum of 5, but I actually think we will get 7. We'll end on 37 points.
I think that's very optimistic because I think we've just played. I hate to say it, Forest have got a bit of spirit about them, if not quality. You could make an argument after Southampton, we've just played the two worst teams in the league. They've each missed an absolute sitter because whilst Killer said that Calvert-Lewin's was just about as bad as he's seen, it was probably as bad as he's seen since the week before when Bamford missed one. Mm. So, I mean, you know, we failed to beat those teams. I thought we were better than against Leeds than I thought we were against Everton. I was alarmed by the Everton performance. I've got us getting maybe a point at Fulham, Norm, for the reason that you've said, but I can't really see why we're going to go away to a decent team and win. I think Liverpool are back. I don't see us getting anything against Liverpool or Newcastle, but I've always thought we'll beat West Ham. I've always thought since the start of the season, I thought if there's anything riding on it, that'll be a nice game to focus on. So I've got us pending a point at Fulham. I've got us in 34. What about you, Killer?
Well, before I discuss that, I'm just going to make a couple of points. Point number one, Patrick Bamford was offside. So let's never talk about that as being a relevant miss. It was offside. The gap, that goal would have never been given. Point number two, here's an interesting thing, guys. We're effectively talking about 5 teams, 4 games, 20 games in all. Incredibly, only one of those games involves both teams in the bottom 5. I mean, that is an absolute quirk in terms of these fixtures, by the way, which makes it really interesting. The reason it makes it interesting, therefore, is there is only the Forest-Southampton game where it's guaranteed that 2 of those teams in the bottom 5 will at least get a point. So the relevance of that is there is a good chance as we go through this that some of the teams we mentioned aren't going to win another football match.
Yeah.
Okay. But to give you a straight answer, I think slightly optimistically we're going to beat Fulham. I don't agree with what Norm said, because I think Liverpool are on the up rather than they're up and down. I think they've hit some form. I think they're going to beat us. The Geordies will beat us. And then I think West Ham will already be safe. Hopefully then they're playing for that European final and we'll comfortably blow them away on the last game of the season to give us 6 points.
So you two are really quite optimistic then. Okay, right, let's have a look. Not in the same detail, but I know that we've got these fixtures in front of us next to our frothing Trump Wales IPA in the Foss Arms this evening. So, Norm, let's just for the hell of it, let's assume West Ham are still in this, because that would have a hell of a bearing on the final game of the season if they were. They're currently sitting on 34 points. What do you think they could get to, very briefly?
Very briefly, they could get to 37 because they'll lose Man City, Man United, Brentford, they'll lose. The only game they'll win, assuming that they lose to us away, is the Leeds at home game.
Yes.
So, therefore, they'll get 3 points, which will obviously have a detrimental effect on Leeds. So, although the bottom 5 aren't playing, so the West Ham versus Leeds is a game, the second last game of the season, which could really help us out with regards to, like Killer said, when we play West Ham, they might well be safe.
Okay, I'm going to take Leeds. And the reason I'm going to take Leeds, Killer, you've sort of already had a bit of a guffaw about Sam Allardyce. And as we're recording this, as we all, Samuel Aladici, as he memorably called himself when he was moaning that only foreign managers got big jobs. Well, maybe you're going to get one now. So, you know what, Killer? I think this would be very sensible. I think... I'm looking at Leeds fixtures. They've got Man City, Newcastle, West Ham and Spurs. It's probably the worst set of fixtures. I think a lot of football fans are in the camp of they ain't going to get another point. Why on earth not roll the dice? Four games is enough to get a new manager bounce. I don't necessarily see them getting anything in those first three games, but I think it could, you know, maybe last day of the season, maybe he gets some 3 points they weren't going to get. So I'm going to say Leeds could get to 33 points. Probably no more than that. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if they did lose all of them. Killer, you get, because you're a bit of a pseudo fan of theirs, which I've given you a yellow card about in the past, you get to talk about Forest.
Right, okay. Forest. Pseudo fan?
Well, you've said quite nice things. You've said nice things about Forest on this
point. I've tried to be realistic. And by the way, I think a lot of what I've said has probably come to fruition in terms of you had them down at Christmas.
Well, I think they are down still.
Well, I don't know. You look at it, don't you? Okay, quickly go through them. Southampton at home, they will win. Chelsea away, they will lose. Arsenal at home, you see that? I don't know. You look at this Forest team, and yeah, all right, lose. Palace away. I mean, Palace will be on the beach. Point. 4 points.
That's exactly what I've put, Killer. It was exactly the same. Beat Southampton, lose the next two, Palace away a point. 34 points.
Yeah, I actually do agree with that. I think they might not get the point at Palace. That's the only thing I would say. But I regrettably do think they'll beat Southampton. I think that's nailed on. Right, Norm, Everton then. They've got Brighton away, Man City at home, Wolves away and Bournemouth at home.
I think they'll beat Bournemouth and they'll lose the rest.
You think they'll lose at Wolves, you'll be on the beach?
Yeah. I think the Wolves' home game of the season, I think they'd won a bit of a show. And I think Everton are that bad. I think we mustn't forget that Everton aren't very good. So I can't really see them getting anything out of those games. And the other thing is, by the time they get to play Wolves, I think the results would have been such that they will almost be cut adrift. So they'll be so nervous, it just won't be enough. They'll be Wolves get an early goal, for instance, they'll just fall apart. So that's where. Look, of course, it could go the other way, but that's where I'm sat. And I think they will win their final game of the season. You know, with desperately trying to stay up and failing.
Right. So if I'm just summarise our little situation here. So we've got West Ham safe. West Ham get to 37. Leicester, because we've all had a look at that, gets us somewhere between 34 and 37. Might me being the most pessimistic. Leeds only get to 33 and Everton only get to 32. So that would suggest that the bookies would be right and we could stay up. But it does rely, I think we're all now saying it relies on us getting something on foot against Fulham, which, Killer, is brilliant because all we've done is said, yeah, don't worry that we didn't beat Everton after all, folks. We just got to beat... get something at Fulham, everything's fine.
Yeah, I just wonder though, again, hot atmosphere last night. Obviously, you know, fair play to Everton fans. I thought they played their part. And to be fair to Everton, bad time for us to play a poor team, probably playing the best that they've played possibly all season. Can they keep it up? I don't know. I just get the feeling with Fulham, no Mitrovic, obviously he's still subject to his 100-game ban. It just feels a bit like Arsenal. They've massively overachieved, and I just feel like they've probably now run out of a bit of steam.
Yeah, I don't know, Norm. I mean, I'm struggling to find a logic why we're going to be... Because I'm bought into the on-the-beach thing, and this is why I'm more worried about Everton's last two fixtures than you are, by the way, because I thought they were quite up for it last night, and I worry about those two fixtures. I'm struggling to find a reason, though, why we're going to beat Fulham. Do you know what I mean? We're not really showing that we can beat anyone. Wolves was at home. They kind of didn't really have much to play for. other than that, we've not been great in the last two games.
Why? Because we have got something to play for, and we still have, you know, let's not forget that, yes, whether it was deserved or not, you know, we could easily have come away from that game having won. We could, if Patson Daka had shot against Leeds rather than passing it, we could easily have come away from that game with a win. You know, Fulham have got nothing to play for. We have. Dean Smith's still finding his feet a little bit. He will play a team that's good enough to get the result against them. And you know what? Even if we don't beat them, even a point and a win at West Ham, given our goal difference, you know, 34 points, you know, certainly assuming that we're reasonably right with regards to how these fixtures are going, is going to be enough to see us stay up. Even if Everton do beat Wolves, Tim, and get 35 points, as far as I can work out, Forest and Leeds will still be below us.
Just what's your view, Norm? What's your view, Norm, on Big Sam?
That's my view. I think they're absolutely desperate, and that's what this, my view is, that it's an absolutely desperate move in the blind hope that he may produce some kind of miracle, which I don't think he will. But I can understand why they'd go for it. I mean, Garcia, I've forgotten his name.
Gracia.
I think he's basically looking at it, or the Leeds board are looking at it with West Ham and Spurs. Spurs are rubbish. He's basically, the Man City and Newcastle, they're likely to lose. Gives him two games to be able to pick a team that can get two wins. So I suppose it's makes sense. Don't think it'll work.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though. You know, when you look at their, I know we're going to talk about the fact they've had a couple of thumpings. But again, if you think to yourself that you're down at the bottom for a reason, and I get it if there's been a Brendan Rodgers spell of results, but I'm just going to take this back from the 4th of April. So that's not even a month ago. Beat Forest at home 2-1. We know then they got spanked at home to Palace and Liverpool. Fulham away from home 2-1, a defeat, and then drew against us. And again, you think to yourself, it's not absolutely the end of the world, though, is it?
But do you not think, I mean, I just think that, I think they were going down, weren't they? You know, would you not have had them in your bottom three? Well, I mean, you probably still have Killer, given what you've said about Big Sam. I understand that logic. But were they not, you know, why not spin the dice? Who knows?
I don't think they've necessarily been that much worse than they've been all season. And I don't know. I look at it. Sam Allardyce does have a track record of keeping up clubs. Not always, by the way. He didn't do it when he was at last time out at West Brom.
Yeah.
But what he had for most of that time, he did have time. I remember when he kept Sunderland up, but he toiled with that Sunderland team for a while before he got it right, before he could instill that Allardyce discipline. I just don't... Four games. I just don't really get it. By the way, the technical director resigned today, didn't he?
Yeah, so he's fallen,
he's fallen out with the owner. It just seems to me that this feels like almost a little bit of a joke club. It feels like the time Stuart Pearce was Man City manager and he brings David James off the bench and puts him up front. It just feels really, really desperate. Hey, look, in four games' time, we might be turning around and going, what a genius move. I just cannot see it at all. And of course, then in May, if they do go down, back to square one, who do they get back in for the season after?
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, though, when you say like a joke club, one of the things that's just been, I've just been thinking about over the last few, you know, you just look at these teams around us. Southampton, all right, they're going to go this year. If one of these teams stay up, Everton, they've been playing the relegation game for years. Forest, absolutely rubbish. Leeds, barely out of the Championship. Certainly nothing more than a Championship squad there. West Ham. You know, they've been largely around the bottom half. I know they had a good year last year. Wolves, relegation candidates until about six weeks ago. Bournemouth, that is a full-on Championship. I just think if we get relegated, Norm, this year, I don't know how I'm going to sleep at night with the squad we've got. You know, to think that, you know, this could happen to our club whilst you've got this complete dross around us in this unbelievably weak Premier League, in which Brentford are in the top half, in which Villa are pushing for the Champions League, in which Chelsea, who never ever win a game of football, are still 12th. You know, and Brighton, you know, it just is amazing, isn't it? And that's what's making me lose sleep. If you get beaten by the better teams over the course of the season, and that's what will happen to us if we go down. But you just look around and you just think, we are so much better than this. And those other teams around us can't say that.
No, it's frightening. It's frightening. But let's put a positive spin on it. When we do stay up, and my prediction is that unfortunately Forest stay up as well. The next season, you have Forest, you've got Bournemouth, Brentford will probably come back into the pack. You're going to have Burnley, you're going to have Sheffield United. You're going to, you know, actually, even though we're going to lose some of our best players, if we stay up this year, there's every possibility that we'll still have a much better team than three or four others. So, should be okay to stay up again. So
you would have thought so.
I mean,
there is a solid argument to say, and I know we're going to lose him at the end of the season, but if we had played this season out in exactly the same way, but with two differences, Soyuncu played every time Amati played, and Iverson played every time Danny Ward played, there is a solid argument to say we would now be having a very dull mid-table podcast.
I don't think that's a solid argument. I think it's the nailed on truth.
Shouldn't we therefore be fairly optimistic? Should we stay up? As Norm said, we haven't got two blockbuster teams coming up. We haven't got two teams coming up that have got a fat owner that might turn around. I mean, Sheffield United have only just had their transfer ban lifted, haven't they? You know what I mean? So I mean, they're gonna struggle. Yeah, it will just be, you're quite right, Tim. If we go down, we can absolutely pinpoint poor management, poor team selection with a squad of players ultimately that were good enough to stay up. And we've all seen Leicester City relegations. And I've got to say, of the Leicester City top flight relegations I've seen, the good thing about those relegations is we were rubbish and it was done and dusted so early. It was just a foregone conclusion. This won't be the case. This will be the best Leicester City team that have ever dropped out the top flight by a mile. In fact, you could argue there's been worse Leicester City teams than this have stayed in this division. Okay, so wrap your head around that one. And it's going to go to the wire, which is... I mean, I was on a nervous wreck watching the Everton game last night. Guys, what are we going to be like if we've got to beat West Ham to stay up?
Yeah, I just want this torture to end. Yeah, I don't. You almost want it to end, even if it means we're going down.
Just want to know, don't you?
Yeah, and you're quite right, Killer. What you've said about previous. I mean, there was the year we got relegated where Alan Smith and Lineker got 20 goals each, incredibly. But I still think this team was a lot better than that. We just had those two in it. We had this discussion a couple of weeks ago. I think this is just about. We threw in West Ham. This is just about the best team ever to be relegated out of the Premier League. And you just don't want to have to, even if we come straight back up, you then, like, as you quite rightly say, but, you know, Burnley are a flipping good side. But, you know, when you're coming back up new, it's hard, isn't it? Because everyone else is established. So let's hope we don't go there. I know what you two are going to say about this Fulham game, but we need to come on to the predictor table with wonderful, frothy, cold Trump Wales IPA. Last week was, of course, a two-game week. So we all thought we'd beat Everton. You two thought we'd beat Leeds, but I actually had that Leeds match as a draw. Didn't quite get the score right. So I picked up a point. Norm's on 10, Killer's on 12 points, and I'm on 15. Going into Fulham then, Killer. So I'm guessing you're going to say we're going to beat them.
Yep. I think it's going to be a tense finale with a Jamie Vardy goal on the counter-attack for 3-1.
So 3-1 win, yeah? Mm. Right, Norm?
Yeah, I'm not suggesting a Jamie Vardy euphoric goal for a consolation, Tim.
Hey, no, that's what, the way this season's gone, I think I'd still be cheering that, to be honest.
I'm going for a Leicester win. I'm not going to be quite as bold as Killer. I'm going for a 2-1 Leicester victory.
Okay, I can't make a case for us beating him. I'm closer to making as a case for losing against him, but I think I've got to be optimistic to get a point. The thought, if we don't get a point here, then wow, those next two games are almost like a pass, I think. So then you're just hoping we can get to 33 points, which, wow, if we do stay up on 33, it's going to be goal difference. I think we can probably all agree that. So I'm going to say 2-2. Let's hope I'm wrong. Let's hope you're right.
Quick question before you go, Tim, and to you, Norm. Would you absolutely now 100% cast iron guarantee it's yours if you want it, take a point on Saturday, or would you roll the dice and let the game be played on the basis of that we could take three?
I'll tell you what I'd do while you're thinking, Tim. I'd roll the dice.
I think I would, given what we've said about the other teams and the points they might end up on. And I'm not, you know, I was listening to your comments on the other teams. I do tend to, everyone's got quite difficult run-ins. And I think if we could get a point at Fulham, I'm so confident we're going to beat West Ham that I think 34 might incredibly be enough. So you know what? I think I'd take the safety of the point. What would you do, Killer?
Yeah, same as you, mate. Yeah, and I hate to say it because I've just predicted a win, but I'm scared.
Yeah, I think if we don't get a point here, I think it's 33, isn't it? And then you then thank goodness for our goal difference. I've got a mate, by the way, who said about 6 months ago we're going to stay up on goal difference this season.
Really?
6 months ago. Right, Killer, any last thoughts, final thoughts?
This is turning into a gut-wrenchingly horrible season, isn't it? There's nothing more than that. It's like your worst nightmare. It's everything appears to be hanging on by a thread, which there's a case. So you just look at all the scenarios, don't you? Monday is massive.
No?
And just to ease it away from Leicester, my final thought is Frank Lampard, new manager, bounce. Played 5, lost 5.
Dead cat bounce. Look. That's it, folks. We're all off to see if aliens have taken over at AC Milan, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.